Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, that's a pity. Welcome to church this morning. As you know, Norman is still on holiday, and I have the privilege this morning of leading the service. So good luck with you all. I'll hand over to Derek for the intimations. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, George. And don't worry, we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Could you put the first intimation slide up? Here we go. These ones you've seen before. A warm welcome to everyone and any visitors might like to sign the visitor's book. There's no Zoom now this week or next, but back in August. Kirk Session meeting, 1st of August, a very important Kirk Session meeting, and we should encourage each other for as big a turnout as possible at that meeting. And summer intimations are still available, although missing one item, which you'll see over leaf. The second one I'll come to. Eternity Group is going to start meeting on 22nd of August, Tuesday evenings. It'll meet fortnightly thereafter, and we're going to look at a Life Builder book on the Old Testament books of Jonah, Joel, and Amos. And I'll be in touch with the our usual members. Anyone else is also welcome. Just to see about the books very soon. Then, importantly, the one that's not in the printed sheet, we are holding a family film show and a barbecue on the 10th of August, which is a Saturday. Thursday. Why did I think so? Right, Thursday. It's definitely a Thursday, 10th of August at 3 p.m. Showing the film Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Entry's free, but there's a suggested donation of £3 for the film and £2 for the goodies, which are burgers and hot dogs, tea, coffee and juice. You can register to attend via the church Facebook page or contact George, who's sitting here, and we look forward to seeing you there. And finally, there'll be a quick look at the order service, which we haven't printed, sorry.
I'll just get used to switching on and off. Once I've got that under the belt, we're good to go kind of thing. The order of service, unfortunately, I ran out of time this morning to print them off, so you can have a wee quick look, but I'll talk it through as we go along. So, as we said, we're here to worship God, so let's commence our worship with the singing of hymn 196. Come now is the time to worship. I pressed the wrong button the wrong way several times. I do apologise, but we'll get it right. We will now dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, the offerings we seek to make of ourselves and our money, and grant that we may ever work and pray to build a world of peace and joy and freedom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I'd ask Marion to lead us in prayer this morning. Marion.
The prayers this morning have been taken from the Church of Scotland website. Let us pray. Lord of creation, who inspired the dreams of our mothers and fathers, we come to worship you today. For you, God, existed before all creation. You, God, travelled with patriarchs and prophets and disciples, and with all our mothers and fathers in faith. You, God, have travelled with each of us, even when we turned away and ignored you. Your creative power has supported us. You are a loving God, and so we can confess to you that we are not always faithful to you, and that we do not always love our neighbours as ourselves. Loving God, forgive us our sins and set us anew on the path you dream for us. Send your Spirit to fill us all with hope, love, and joy, that we might be set free to be God's children in the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on heaven as is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks very much, Marion. We continue our worship by singing hymn 543, Christ Be Our Light.
Thank you.
by switching on. One night, I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before us, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you most, you should leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. That's a lovely poem by Margaret Fishback Powell. I've written down here, wow, that's a tremendous poem that sometimes uses a prayer. It tells us that we should remember that God is always with us through the good times as well as the bad times, no matter what. I read that it is thought by some that the person describing the dream is in fact Jesus. Just as we all sometimes struggle with our faith, so did Jesus. In times of need, we must look back and see the footprints in the sand to realise that God is, has, and always be with us by our side. That is why, as Derek very eloquently updated us of changes that we are facing as a church, nationally and locally a few weeks ago, we should remember that our Lord is with us and will carry us on our journey to be more missionary focused. Personally, that word mission scares me. As I do not feel that I'm a missionary type of person. However, using the alternative words, as indicated by Derek, such as storytelling, feels more comfortable. By telling the story to others of our church, and by that I mean all the activities we have available, which are available to members, friends, and most importantly, non-members. The content of the newsletter actually describes all our activities brilliantly. And once again, I'm going to compliment Derek for producing the newsletter. Thank you, Derek. Actually, the Limekilns treasurer, who's not a member of Limekilns Church, but he's quite a well-known person in the Limekilns community, in discussion with me about other things, said, George, I saw the newsletter. What a tremendous advert for your church. Wow, I think he said he'd hope maybe Limekilns would consider doing something similar. I must ask Irene to put it on Facebook if it's not on Facebook. Oh, she's going to come and do that good. We're talking about stories. We can tell the story of the family film show and barbecue. We can tell the story of the refurbishment of our building and the resulting increase in the use for other things such as yoga classes, the brownies and the rainbows. By the way, please let me know if you know of anybody who's wanted interest in using our premises. The best story of all, or one of the best stories, has got to be the church building itself. Built in 1752, do you realise we're 271 years young? Aye, that marvellous. We can talk about the Victorian upgrade of the balcony. We can talk about, more importantly, the very warm, welcoming space we have. And we're no bad at making folk feel welcome. We could describe this as our journey. I often smile when I hear people tell the stories of their journey, through whatever they're involved in. Forgive me if you think I'm wrong, but when I listen to the passion and enthusiasm of Strictly Come Dancing competitors and their recounting of their journey or experience, they talk about the welcoming they receive into the fold of Strictly. They talk about the friendships for life that they make in the fold of Strictly, and the comforting they receive from fellow competitors in times of trouble when they're told you can't dance anymore. It sounds awfully like here, what we offer. There are so many stories we can tell. This is our journey as planned by God, and with His help, we will succeed. Now, could I finish with a short prayer, please? Let us pray. Creative and understanding God, we would ask you to be with us as we join with the other churches in the West Fife cluster and lead us on the journey to be mission-focused and tell the stories that will enable all to be aware of your never-ending love. Amen. Now I'd like to ask Marion to lead us in prayer. No, I don't want to ask Marion to lead us in prayer. I do apologise. I'm going to ask Elaine to read for us this morning. I'll get it right yet. I'll just read the order of service, George.
Both our readings this morning are taken from the New Testament, from Acts. The first one is Acts chapter 19, and we read from verse 1 to 10, Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. The next reading comes from Acts chapter 17, and we read from verse 16 to 21, in Athens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We continue our worship by singing hymn 644, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." On another journey this morning, which we have read about in the Bible, it's about the disciple Paul and his journeys preaching about Jesus and the Word of God in the ancient city of Ephesus, which at that time was considered one of the most important cities in the Roman Empire. Then we will journey to Athens, where Paul also visited. I want you and I to follow in the footsteps of Paul this morning. I hope it will be an incredible journey for us, and using technology, I hope to make it so. Let's begin. This is a map of the lands where Paul visited, and it shows his several journeys, of which there were four, as noted by the different lines of coloured dashes. I have coloured Jerusalem in a red area. No, I haven't. I've covered it in green. And to the north, I have coloured Antioch in a kind of reddy, orangey colour. The city of Antioch is now a ruin, as is Ephesus. I have covered Athens and Ephesus in yellow. It's gone kind of greeny. Athens has gone a wee bit of greeny, but they're yellow and green up there. So you can track the journey of, that Paul was making. If you look from Jerusalem to Antioch, then to Ephesus, I have calculated that it would be around 1,200 miles. And I'm sure you'd appreciate that was a considerable journey 2,000 years ago. Several weeks ago, Margaret and I were fortunate enough to make a similar journey, but in a more relaxed manner. Yes, you can see our wee ship. And as part of our cruise itinerary, we called into Ephesus and Athens. I listened to Derek and Norman explaining to people about a cycle pilgrimage some 23 years ago that they were involved in, which was planned to visit the Holy Land. But because of the war there, they were diverted to Turkey. And yes, they visited Ephesus. So, folks, if you have any tricky questions regarding Ephesus, I would ask you to address them to Derek, please. Back to our journey. We travelled by coach from the port to Ephesus. Our guide declared he was a Christian, although Lebanese in origin and living in a Muslim country. He asked us if there was anything we particularly wanted to see. Prior to the trip, I had read that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had lived there for some time and asked if we would be visiting her house. Our guide had informed us he was a history teacher and part of his university course was a study as an archaeologist based at Ephesus. And with his knowledge and grasp of the English language, it would prove to make our visit to the city one of the most memorable tours we have ever experienced. As to visiting Mary's house, the guide advised us this was not on the tour because it had never been proven she lived there, but possibly visited. So, just as we're arriving at the destination, we passed this gold-coloured statue of Mary, just outside Ephesus. I should now mention a wee bit of history of Ephesus so we can appreciate the magnitude of the task Paul had taken on. The city was, as I mentioned, one of the largest in the Roman Empire with a population of in excess of 250,000 people, 250,000 people. So in those times it was very large. The entry to the city at the top of the hill through Hercules Gate, which is the start of the main thoroughfare through the city, down to then the port. We started to walk towards the gate and were stopped, and this has nothing to do with the journey regarding Paul, but a wee extra. I hope you don't mind. We looked at this statue of the ancient Greek goddess of victory called Nike. Yes, we were told the famous sportswear company was named after her by one of her first employees who dreamt about her. The famous Swish logo, I call it a tick, was created by another employee who remembered this picture. And if you look at the statue, you can see the swish in the statue. Now, but let's go back to the journey. As I mentioned, we entered the city through the Hercules Gate. Apologies for a holiday snap, it's the only one I have of the gate. And we started to descend through the thoroughfare. This is called Caretus Road. I think that's the pronunciation, Caretus Road. And it winds its way down towards the port area. I hope this allows you some idea of the distance we had to walk down to the wards, the large structure at the lower part of the hill. I took a photograph of this temple, which is a temple to the Emperor Hadrian, because of the wall he built to keep our ancestors out of the empire. He was obviously much worshipped, as he had temples built by the population and cities throughout the empire. Onward down the hill, and you can see the library clearer now at the bottom of the hill. It was interesting to note that the buildings on both sides of the road would have been shops of many different types, and yes, there were relics which indicated what they had been. Our guide emphasised the busyness of this road. It could have been the marketplace that was mentioned in the Bible in our reading. This is the heart of the city, which Paul and his followers would have had to wind their way through the crowds to reach the areas where they could preach to the gathered Ephesians. He also mentioned the sophistication of the richer businesses in the areas where the houses were built, above the shops. They had hot and cold running water, and they had internal toilets. My thoughts at the time were, again, have we really progressed that much since Roman times? Back to our journey. As we reached the library at the bottom of the hill, it was built during the period 100 AD and 110 AD in memory of a senator by the name of Silacius, and was destroyed by an earthquake in 270 AD. The structure we see today was resurrected between 1970 and 1978. The actual archaeological digging of the city was started in the late 19th century, and our guide informed us that only about 20% of the city has been excavated. So you can gather it's going to be a long time until it will all be finished. Our guide informed us that the city was abandoned in the 13th century because the river, which ran alongside the city and into the sea, had over many hundreds of years brought silt into the estuary, which had developed into a mudplain. The wet vegetation had caused an upsurge of infection-carrying insects, and cholera broke out and reduced the population by half. Those remaining made the choice to leave the city because of the reduced trade, both from the port and the dwindling population. Back to our journey, and what I hope will be the real icing on the cake, when we can really feel that we are walking where Paul was walking for the 2 years on his second visit to Ephesus. Now, Paul would have walked along this road. The shops were on the right-hand side. This would be thronging with people. Doesn't look much on this video. All the structures, you can see all the pillars that must have been representing on the left-hand side, the other structures and temples and places of meeting. And Paul and his followers walked along this very road. I was blown away by that. Now, folks, we head over to Athens, where Paul made several visits and preached in various buildings that became Christian places of worship, much due to his preaching and retelling of the story of Jesus. From our travelling point of view, it was a coach trip through Athens up towards the Acropolis, and this was one of the views of the site prior to arrival. It's really on quite a high hill. Now we continue to climb up to the top of the hill. That's us climbing up to the top of the hill. And as you can see, it's raining today. Would you believe this? And rain in Greece. But given the recent high temperatures experienced in Greece, maybe that's not a bad thing. And just to prove it was raining, I've got a photograph of Margaret in a poncho after we arrived at the top of the hill. But there's the Acropolis itself. And there's Margaret in a poncho for a laugh. I can't... Well, did you not know that was in? Sorry. I'll be in trouble for that one. I can confirm that the weather did change for the better. Continuing where Paul must have walked, because past the temple of Athene and Nike, which was the Acropolis was on one side, that temple was on the other. Athene Nike was the goddess of victory, and Athene was the deity of Athens in their ancient religions. As I was saying, we walked up past this temple and we came to the hill called Areopagus, which was mentioned in today's reading. Now, if you look closely at this, I tried to enlarge this. The hill is that part in the bottom part of the picture, and it was used as a place of meeting for the population of Athens. And they used to come round and gather round to hear people who were talking. And that's where Paul and his followers met to address the people of Athens, as we talked and we read in the Bible this morning. So he addressed the men of Athens about the idols they were worshipping as named gods, and even the unknown god. And later on in the reading, if we read on in the scripture, we would have heard that he used the unknown god as a way of telling the men of Athens about the true God who made the world. And so, we're at the end of our journey and our story so far for today. And my thoughts are to use it as my story to challenge the statements by people who say, the Bible and its stories of Jesus never happened. And that is why I do not believe in the existence of God. Well, I can say to them, oh yes, it did. Because some weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to be where Paul walked and told his stories of the resurrection of Jesus and his promise of eternal life after death. Just please give me 15 minutes of your time. Thank you for listening, and now we'll continue with Marian and our prayer for others. Marian.
Let us pray. Creator God, we thank you that you are closer to us than our next breath, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that your love for all of us and for all your children is deeper and higher and broader than we can ever imagine. We thank you for all your blessings to us, and that you are close to us in all our joys and sorrows. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that his life of care and mercy for those in need, his preaching of forgiveness, and his death and resurrection. Speak to us of your love for the world and for each one of us. May your church be a place of mercy and forgiveness. May all who are distressed find in the Christian community the peace and comfort which you offer all people. We pray for all who seek to plant new initiatives of faith and service in the church. We pray for those faithful folks who struggle to see green shoots amid the weeds which seem so often to choke the work of the church. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayer. We thank you for those who supply us with the necessities of life. Especially today, we pray for farmers and all who bring us our food. we pray for fair trading systems to ensure that those who produce food are given a just reward for their labours. We pray for those in our communities who struggle to feed their families and for an economic system which is fair to them too. We pray for doctors, both those who look after our bodies and those who tend our minds. We thank you for all who work in healthcare, especially at this time of stress on the health service. We pray for all those who are ill or who have long-term ill health, for those who suffer from pain in their bodies and those who suffer in mind and spirit. Bring them healing and a better quality of life. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for all victims of war and violence, and those driven from their homes because of hatred or uprooted by poverty to seek new lives elsewhere. May your people always be welcoming to those who are new among us, even if they are very different from us. May those who claim to be Christians never stoke up hatred and division in our communities. We pray for those who have been recently bereaved, for those who mourn for loved ones long gone but not forgotten, and for those who feel that they have lost something else important in their lives, a sense of belonging, an opportunity denied, a road not taken. May they all know that they can never be far from your love. We pray for leaders in our community, in our nation and around the world. Give them wisdom, keep them honest, and may they care for all people whom they are called to serve. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayer. Faithful God, may we all keep close to you as you are always close to us, looking for ways to nurture the coming of your kingdom and always faithful to our Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose spirit we bring these prayers. Amen.
Let's conclude our service by singing our final hymn, hymn 622, We Sing a Love.
Oh,
just before we say the blessing, could I please take this opportunity to thank everybody who helped in today's service. Caroline on the sound, Marion for the prayers, and Elaine for the reading, and Derek for getting the whole system working this morning. Thank you. May we say the blessing together, please. I've got it on the screen. May the love of the Father enfold us, the wisdom of the Son enlighten us, the fire of the Spirit inflame us, and may the blessing of God rest upon us and abide with us, now and forevermore.